Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Dr. John Vaughn. It was presented in October of 2009. It's the fifth of a six-part series on brokenness. The title of the message, Brokenness, the Promise.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin in I'm going to begin in verse 6. I'll focus on 7 and following. But in verse 6, Paul says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." When God decides to break you, He will change your whole way of thinking. It's taken us a long time to start thinking or to develop the habits of thinking that we now use. And when we're trying to change our minds, like breaking any habit or changing any pattern in our lives, it takes time and it takes the repetition of lessons. We learn things over and over and over. And there are things that we need to do day after day after day. We never get to the place where we finish learning and growing. Our tendency is to pray for relief at first. And so much of our prayer consists of asking God to change our circumstances so we can be more comfortable, rather than to use our circumstances to make us better so He can get more glory. Think about how you pray and what you ask for when you pray. Oh Lord, make it go away. Oh Lord, give me relief. Oh Lord, make it so I have no more needs. I think if God were to answer some of our prayers, we wouldn't pray anymore. But He gives us that hunger for Him and for what He's doing in our lives so that we can remember how much we need Him. At first, though we pray for relief, after a while, as breaking continues, we'll come to understand that brokenness truly is the way to blessing. In fact, brokenness is the blessing. Having a heart that's yielded and tender and listening to the Lord, it requires us to come to realize how weak we really are. I think one of the reasons the Bible teaches that we understand the love of God so little is because we fail to understand how desperately we need His love. We have a low view of grace because we have a low view of sin. We have a low view of the power of God because we have a low view of our own weakness. We think we're strong, and because we think we're strong, we really are weak. But when we come to understand how weak we really are, then we understand the greatness of the strength and the power that He has for us. for us. And it's not until we realize that weakness that we truly understand or begin to understand His strength. It's natural for us to want to get out from under the pain. Make the pain go away. I don't want to go through this process. But what God is helping us to see is that His grace is sufficient for us. We love to quote things like that. We love to quote things like Romans 8:28. We love to say those to other people when they're having problems. Now remember, all things work together for good. It's easy to say that, isn't it? How about choosing to think that when you don't really feel like it? When the pain is real and the nights are long and you're lonely and you don't know which way to turn? God's grace is sufficient. We talk about rejoicing, and we've read many, many verses together this week about rejoicing in tribulation, rejoicing even though we're going through the fiery trial, rejoicing even though we're in the crucible of Christian suffering. How can we do that? Can we just pretend to be happy? Can we just put on a happy face, whistle a little tune, and make ourselves feel better? I don't know about you, but I'm not able to do that. I can't pretend to be happy. Real happiness is what the Bible calls joy, blessedness, and it's the fruit of brokenness, of being content with God Himself. Four stabilizing truths. Number one, the flesh is always the problem. Whatever your problem, look for it in your flesh. Number two, the gospel is always the answer. What Christ did on the cross is always the answer to your problem that you're experiencing in your flesh. Number three, the glory of God is always the goal. There are people who get to step three and they're never content with Christ. They say they want to glorify God. They say they're trusting what Christ did on the cross. They're willing to admit that their flesh is at the root of the problem. But they will never be content until they get what they want. And even if they get what they want, they still won't be content, because that does not make them a broken person trusting in the sufficient grace of God. Because Christ is enough, because the grace of God is sufficient, you can make the choice to rejoice. You may not be as happy as you want to be, but you can be content with Christ. And the fruit of the choice to be content with Christ will be an inner blessedness that cannot come to you through outward circumstances. It comes from your relationship with the Lord Himself. Look again at these verses. Here in verse 7, Paul said, I've received all these revelations. He gave us most of the epistles and all this teaching that we have in the New Testament. And the Lord used him as a vessel to preach and teach and to clarify and explain all the things that we need to know about Christ and about the church. And he said, I don't want other people to think more highly of me than they ought to, because I know that to keep me from thinking more highly of me than I ought to, the Lord allowed me to have a problem in my flesh. Some illness, some infirmity, whatever it might have been, and there are various ideas on that. Paul had a physical difficulty, and he prayed that God would relieve it. He believed, no doubt, that he could serve God more effectively if he didn't have this pain, if he didn't have this suffering, if he didn't have this limitation, whether it was his eyesight, that's one of the main ideas, or whatever it was. Paul knew that he could be more effective if he didn't have this distraction of this physical problem. Paul said in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, he says, that it might depart from me. And then he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen to this phrase, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. I will use this to glorify God. That is a function of the will and not of the feelings. Faith, hope, love are far more functions of the will than you will hear people tell you today. A lot of people believe that they're feelings. People are told today that love is a feeling. Certain kinds of love, do involve the emotions. But biblical, unselfish love is a choice. Hope is a choice. Faith is a choice. Glorying in your infirmities is a choice. And Paul made a choice to rejoice. Christ teaches you that you should pray during brokenness, no question about it. And you and I learn some of our best praying when we don't know what else to do. He says here in the first part of verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord." That word besought means to plead. It even means to beg. Paul begged the Lord to make this go away. Have you ever had a pain that was so bad, something that was so uncomfortable, you couldn't sleep, you hurt all the time, that you were pleading with the Lord to give you some relief? Have you ever done that? Paul begged the Lord, "Please take this away." He said, "I pleaded, I beseeched the Lord three times." Listen, trusting prayer is persistent prayer. Paul prayed three times. Sometimes you want something so badly, you just keep asking for it over and over and over. And truthful prayer is precise prayer. He prayed that this thorn in his flesh would depart from him. He didn't just pray some general prayer. He prayed specifically, "Lord, please take this thing away," whatever it was. He wanted God to remove his physical infirmity. And sometimes you and I learn some of our best praying when we're hurting and we have to call and cry on God, to God. But Christ also causes us to understand our problems during brokenness. In verse 9, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, Paul, I know what you need, and having your problem taken away is not what you need. You know, sometimes we think that God hasn't answered our prayers when the truth is we just don't like the answer. When God breaks you, He always sets a limit on what He asks you to go through. He promises us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that He will never, ever let us go through a temptation, a test, or a trial that is more than we can bear. He will never, ever put you in a position where the only alternative you have is to sin. He won't do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, you should memorize that verse and cling to it. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, appropriate for you. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." That means that going into any trial, any time of brokenness, any time of testing, you have a promise from God that you can do right, that you can glorify Him. You say, "I don't see how." Well, that's one of the reasons you're there, is to learn that you can. Why? Because He said that He would not ever allow you to get into a situation that you couldn't get through. He always sets a limit. And you and I must learn to depend on His grace. His grace is enough. It really is. Have you ever been in a situation, I'll be honest with yourself, where you knew in your head that God's grace was sufficient, but it sure didn't feel like it? Have you ever been in that situation? Well, what do you know is true when that happens? Your feelings are not lining up with the truth. And when our feelings don't line up with the truth, what do? We have to choose in our will to subordinate our feelings to the truth. God said this is true. I don't feel like it, but I believe it because He said it. That kind of choosing is part of choosing to rejoice. You have to learn to declare His goodness, to say the right things about God. When God said to Paul, "My strength is made perfect my grace is sufficient for thee," he began to learn then that his strength was made perfect in his weakness. And therefore he chose, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm going to rejoice that God has given me this thorn in the flesh because that reminds me every time it bothers me that God's grace is sufficient for me. Every time I see that limitation, every time I am reminded by it, it just reminds me that there's something better ahead, that this life has limitations, that we're all weak and suffering from infirmities. Here's what you need to do tonight. You need to say, because God gave me that promise, I will, therefore, glory in my infirmities. How does that begin? It starts by changing the prayer from, O Lord, take this away, to, O Lord, give me grace right now. You've promised me it's there. I need it. I'm asking for it. I will appropriate it and use it, and I will seek to bring glory to you in my life. Sometimes, folks, we can't learn this any other way than to go through a breaking process like Paul did and like we've been talking about all this week. I'm not suggesting to you tonight that a prayer of submission to the Lord is going to bring tragedy on your head. It won't. God already intends to break you. And when you yield to Him and say, Lord, give me the blessing in the breaking, you're not giving God permission to bring something difficult into your life. You're making yourself submissive to the blessing in what He intends to do. You're coming like Paul with the prayer, Lord, I've been asking you to make it better and easier, but now I want you to give me the grace that I can glory in my infirmities. The Hidden Treasure Principle says that we all have everything we need to do God's will for His life. You have everything you need to do God's will for your life too. And if God can break you of your demands and desires for something else than what He's planned for you, then you will truly know the way to blessing. Now let me give you very quickly this second point. You can not only choose to rejoice, but because God's grace is sufficient, you can truly learn to rejoice. You won't just be acting like it. It will be real in your life. Now look up here. You can truly learn to rejoice. What does that mean? In verse 10, Paul says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, all right, most gladly I will. And therefore, because I have chosen, I take it. I choose that. I'm going to choose this, and that's going to become the pattern of my life. It's the sufficient grace of God that enables us to take pleasure in suffering. You'd be a crazy person. There'd be something wrong with you if you decided, you know what, I'm going to subject myself to all the pain I possibly can, and I'm going to act like I like it. You see somebody like that, you'd say, you need help. But you can choose to give God the glory in the things that He sent your way and to take pleasure, spiritual, eternal pleasure in what the ultimate purpose of God is. He alone makes it possible for us to think well of them. That's what take pleasure means. I'm going to think well of my problems. That's why I say that when God begins to break you, He's going to change your whole way of thinking. You look at problems and pain and pressure as an unbroken person, and you do not think that's a good thing. But when you start thinking about what God is doing, you'll start thinking well. Oh, I see. But when you learn to see the value and the benefit, you'll think well of them. God will only break you in love. Romans 8:28 becomes your own. So that when something happens that you think is bad and you know it's from God, you can then say, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let me give you another simple illustration of brokenness. Brokenness is when you think of Romans 8:28, instead of why me or why now or why again. The broken person says, all right, Lord, you know what I need. Give me grace as I go through this. He alone makes it possible to think rightly not just to pretend to think well, but to truly think rightly. Paul says, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. In the same way that it's the sufficient grace of God that enables you to take pleasure in suffering, it is the mighty power of God that enables us to glorify Him in suffering. We don't do that in our own power. And Paul says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. He says, I'm going to do that, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you realize that when you make this choice to trust God's sufficient grace and yield to Him, you are asking for the power of God to glorify Him and to rejoice in your infirmity. You cannot do that in human emotion, and you cannot do that merely by your will. But when you choose to trust God, by His grace, He gives you His mighty power, and you really are able to give that kind of a testimony. It's His mighty power that comes to help us in our time of feebleness. I will never leave you or forsake you, He said. I'll be with you. I'll go through that. I'll love you, and I'll comfort you, and I will encourage you, and I will help you. His mighty power not only comforts us in our feebleness, but it comes to establish our faithfulness. He will always finish what He begins. Maybe some of you have a life verse. Can I share with you tonight my daughter Becky's life verse? She loves this verse. She refers to it often. Being confident of this very thing, that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will finish what He starts. He will not break you and leave you in shambles. When He sets out to break you, He sees all the way through to the blessing in this life and especially in eternity. Let me sum it up with a little story. Because of my wife's physical infirmity, she was not always able to accompany Becky back up to the place where she had her surgeries. 8 hours away from us, there was a special hospital that Becky had to go to for surgery repeatedly while she was growing up, over 60 times. And often I would go with her. And I would comfort her and minister to her and love on her and help her until after the surgery was over. And then when she'd been in the recovery phase for a few days, I would have to go back home and take care of the family and my responsibilities there. And then I'd go back up and get Becky and bring her back. And she got into that routine fairly well. Because Becky has a lot of scar tissue, it was very, very difficult for them to find a vein in which to put the needle for the IV. And it scared her to death. And sometimes the only place they could find was on her scalp. And that just really scared her. And she was particularly afraid one night, and it was late, and they were coming at her with all this stuff. And she says, oh, no, please, no. You know, just couldn't they do it after they take me in the operating room? And he just maybe give me a pill and help me go to sleep and then stick the needles in me. And you know, and that was what they often did. And I said, well, honey, I think they're going to have to do this tonight. And she was sort of getting teary-eyed, and little tears were coming down her face. And I think she was 10 or 11 at the time. And finally, I said, honey, let's trust the doctor. And she said these words to me, which I have had to pray to my Lord so many times. She said, Daddy, will you hold me? She said, I know I'm going to kick. You know what you may have to pray tonight as you face this matter of brokenness is, oh, Father, hold me. I know I'm going to kick. And you know what? He knows you're going to kick. And you know what He does? He'll put His loving arms around you, and He'll hold you, and He'll be right there with you through the pain because He loves you. Have your parents ever told your children when you had to do something to discipline them or deprive them of some privilege because of their misbehavior? Look, I really want to do this for you. It hurts me worse than it hurts you, but this is what we have to do. Have you ever said that? And your parent and your children just don't believe you. You can say it hurts you all you want to, but I'm the one that's going to suffer the pain. Have you ever said that to God? Your children have said it to you. You've said it to your Heavenly Father too, haven't you? What do you want your children to do when you have to chasten them? You want them to trust you and know that you love them and that you have their best in mind. And that's exactly what God wants from us. He wants us to trust Him and know that He has our best in mind and to realize the truth that He tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 and following, where He says to us there that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It hurts. And God knows it hurts, but it's necessary and is good, and our good is what He has in mind. Brokenness is a way of describing what happens when you come to understand that the suffering God allows in your life is an act of love from Him. How can we expect the world to believe that God loves them if we ever question it ourselves, if we ourselves don't really believe it, if we're not absolutely certain that the things that cause us pain are expressions of His love, we're going to send the wrong message to people that don't know about it at all. Christians want to get out from under the pain. They want to avoid the process. But God's grace is all we need. My grace is sufficient. That's what He's saying to you tonight. And what does He want you to say in return? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Lord, break me.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Brokenness, the Promise from Dr. John Vaughn. It was originally presented in October of 2009 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. It's the fifth in a six-part series on brokenness. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.